بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الدين عند الله الإسلام، وقال تعالى: صبغة الله ومن أحسن من الله صبغة. صدق الله العظيم. We were discussing the importance of bringing complete Islam into our lives, our day-to-day activities. Islam is a beautiful religion which is there in the pages of the Quran, in the pages of the Hadith, in the books of history. But the world is looking for a living example, practical example of Islam. Not on an individual basis, but on a collective basis. An entire community, entire Muslim country, to become a role model to show what Islam really teaches. Because that is when Islam will become a draw card, a magnet for other people to flock into the fold of Islam. Which is why Allah Ta'ala says that the only true deen in the sight of Allah is Islam. And He says, Sibghat Allah. This is the color of Allah. Allah Ta'ala uses a metaphorical expression referring to deen as a color. وَصِبْغَةَ اللَّهِ meaning deen Allah. وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ مِنَ اللَّهِ صِبْغَةَ أي وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ مِنَ اللَّهِ دِينَ. So Allah Ta'ala using a metaphorical expression. If a person needs to paint some piece of furniture, spray paint his vehicle, he will make sure that he paints it from top to bottom. The vehicle will be sprayed from the front to the back, no portion left untouched. So similarly, Allah is saying that paint yourself in the color of deen of Islam, from head to toe. Let every aspect of your body, of your activities, portray the deen of Islam. In your dressing, in your appearance, in your social activities, in your monetary dealings, in your eating, drinking, walking, in all aspects, from head to toe, color yourself with the deen of Islam. Immerse yourself in Islam. Because when this happens, then automatically people will be drawn into Islam. When every Muslim appreciates the beautiful deen of Islam and brings it totally into his life. Like the case of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his akhlaq, his character, and together with him, the Sahaba Kiram radhiyallahu anhum ajma'in, whom he nurtured. So an entire group of Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum ajma'in portrayed Islam in its true form. Which is why colleagues, Budayl bin Waraqa radhiyallahu ta'ala and Hakim bin Hizam radhiyallahu ta'ala, just before the conquest of Makkah, they spent just one night in the Muslim camp as prisoners. But when they saw the akhlaq, the character of the Sahaba Kiram radhiyallahu anhum ajma'in, their respect for Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, their respect for one another, their devotion in the ibadat, the akhlaq, the way they treated one another, that one night was sufficient for him to convince him of the beauty of Islam. Hazrat Umama bin Uffal radhiyallahu ta'ala, taken into captivity, brought to Medina for 3 days. 3 days were sufficient for him. He saw Islam enacted before his very eyes in a collective form. That was enough for him to enter the fold of Islam. Akhlaq of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There was a certain lady, in order to harass Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, elderly lady, she used to throw impurity on the road when Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to walk, thorns on the road, in order to harm Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to ignore this, overlook it. Once it so happened that the old lady took ill, and Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not see these impurities, thorns on the road, so he made inquiries. People explained to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam that she has taken gravely ill. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam went to go visit to see to her welfare, inquire about her health. She was totally dumbfounded, speechless. telling Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam that I was so rotten to you and you are so good to me, as if to say in a metaphorical sense that I should throw stones at you and you are throwing flowers at me. She was so impressed. It had such an impact on her that this became the catalyst for her to accept Islam. And she came to the fold of Islam. When Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam liberated Makkatul Mukarrama, the people of Makkah, that had committed so many atrocities against the Muslims, they had hurt Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, harmed him over a period of about 23 years. These things continued. But when Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam came into Makkah, liberated Makkah, wrested it from the clutches of the mushrikeen, these people were very anxious. They thought they will be taken to task by Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nabi Sallam addressed them and asked them, "Mada tarawna anni fa'ilun bikum?" What do you think? How will I treat you? They said, "Khayra." We accept the best treatment from you. So Nabi Sallam said to them that, "La tathrib alaykum al-yawm, idhabu fa antum at-tulaqa." Aw kama qala al-Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That you will not be taken to task. You can go, you are free. We will not take revenge from you people. They were so impressed with the akhlaq of Nabi Karim Sa'azam. The people of Makkah al-Mukarrama in droves, they entered the fold of Islam. And Makkah too became part of Darul Islam, part of the Islamic state. Such was the effect of the akhlaq of Nabi Karim Sa'azam and his beloved Sahaba radiallahu anhu majmain. So the world wants to see Islam portrayed in a collective form, which we are unable to show. Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala used to say that there was a time when a Muslim deen used to restrain him from deception, from cheating people. His Islam used to motivate him to be honest, trustworthy. But Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala says that the time is fast approaching when people will say, "Inna fi bani fulanin rajulan aminan." That the time will come when people will speak in hushed tones, that if you want to see a true, honest, trustworthy person, he lives in a certain remote tribe, in a remote clan. In others, to look for an honest person will be like looking for a needle in a haystack. That is how difficult it will be to find honest people, very few and far in between. But the world wants to see in a collective form, can one country, can a single town practice Islam to the letter T in the true sense of the word? After Asr, I explained what happened in Soviet Russia. Hazrat Maulana Ubaidullah Sahib Sindhi Rahmatullahi was a revert. He took admission in Darul Ulum Deoband after accepting Islam and became a great alim of note, a very proficient alim. He was one of the students of the Shaykh ul-Hind, Maulana Mahmud al-Hasan Sahib Deobandi Rahmatullahi. When the British took over power in India, the Indian subcontinent, and they were hell-bent on wiping out Islam from the Indian subcontinent. This was their motive to establish Christianity, establish British culture, force it upon the Indians, so much so that W.W. Hunter, a British author, wrote in one of his books that under our British government, there is no catering for Islamic education. We consider that to be detrimental to our cause. We do not want to allow Islamic education at all. A British MP stood up in Parliament and he announced that now that we have taken over the country of India, it has become our colony. So in this country, we must produce such a youth who, as far as their family lineage is concerned, they will be considered to be Hindustani, Indian. But as far as the outlook towards life is concerned, as far as the mental approach is concerned, as far as the culture is concerned, they must be British through and through. They want to establish British culture, hell bent on wiping out Islam. So obviously, our predecessors, ulama-i kiram, were not going to stand on one side and look at this happening. So under the supervision of Shaykh ul-Hin, Maulana Mahmud al-Hasan Sahib, Deobandi rahmatullah alayhi, his students, among them people like Maulana Ubaidullah Sindhi rahmatullah alayhi, went ahead and launched a campaign. They became political activists, activists who would want to expunge India from the filth of the British, to remove the British, to topple the British government. So in order to attain this, they used to send secret messages around. Normally messages are sent on paper, but these messages were sent written on silken scarves. This became known as a Reshmi Rumal Tahrik, the movement of the silken scarves. They would put secret messages on the scarves and pass it to the co-activists that were fully active in toppling the British government. But unfortunately, it so happens that we normally tend to have enemies from within our own quarters. With the result that this movement was caught, apprehended by the British, it did not succeed. We have people, enemies within, who call themselves Muslims, but are not Muslims. People like the Qadianis. When secret documents began to be released from the British archives, it was found that Qadianis were on the British payroll. Other people of the ilk were also on the payroll of the British. So those who call themselves Muslims, they were the same people that betrayed this cause of toppling the British regime. So eventually, because Maulana Ubaidullah Sahib Sindhi rahmatullah alayh was at the forefront of this silken scarf movement, a warrant of arrest was issued for him. He was declared a traitor of the British government, and they went in pursuit of him. So in order to save his life, he fled from the country. He took refuge in Russia. So Russia granted him refuge, Lenin power. There was this, the light of Allah, the deen of Allah, with their rhetoric, with their words, with their ways. Wallahu mutimmu nurihi walau kariha al-kafir. Allah will make sure that the nur, light of his deen, will continue to spread. So even under all this suppression, oppression, underground, madaris were still running. So in recent times, when Russia had the temerity, the nerve to invade Afghanistan, Allah Ta'ala put the Afghani, Taliban, Mujahideen in the forefront, and the Russian army got a battering from the Afghanis, which led to the downfall of the Russian Empire. No longer a huge empire, split up Uzbekistan, Kyrgyzstan, Tajikistan, Chechnya. And now Islam was in full flourish. In fact, in central Russia, in Moscow too, many masajid, Muslims performing the salah openly. So eventually the superpower had to fall. But nevertheless, in those years, 1924 to 53, and even a bit later, it was at its prime. These were the architects of socialism, communism, Lenin and Stalin. They promoted socialism and communism. After Lenin died in 1924, his successor was Stalin. So Hazrat Maulana Ubaidullah Sahib Sindhi rahmatullah alayh, when he fled to Russia, he was given status of a political refugee, given shelter under the Russian government. So because he was a high profile figure, he could meet with these communist leaders, with Stalin and his other leaders of the Communist Party. On one occasion, when they were sitting on the conference table, Hazrat Maulana Ubaidullah Sahib Sindhi rahmatullah alayh said to Stalin and the other communist leaders that because we have seen capitalism failing in the Western world, in Europe, America, You have adopted this policy of communism, socialism, but I feel even though you have brought this peasant society to a super military industrial power, but this will not last. It will soon crumble. So I urge you people, enter the fold of Islam. Adopt Islamic policies. Run your government according to Islamic law, Islamic principles. You will see prosperity. He showed to them the beauty of zakat, a mere 2.5% taken from the rich annually, given to the poor. Let the poor also prosper. And he showed them many parts of the beauty of Islam. But the same thing, unfortunately, Stalin listened very attentively and he gave the same reply, that all of this is a mere blueprint, it's in theory, it's on paper. Give me a role model, one Muslim country in the entire world that practices Islam from A to Z in totality. Obviously, Maulana Ubaydullah Sahab Sindhi rahmatullah could not produce such a model. He was left speechless. So even though perhaps Stalin was being sarcastic, if he saw the beauty of Islam on paper too, he could have accepted Islam. But this was a way of showing sarcasm. Like George Bernard Shaw, during the British regime, when he came to Bombay, the famous author, he addressed a multi-faith conference. There also he said that the best religion in the world today is Islam. But the worst people are Muslims. This was what he actually meant to say, that Muslims are rotten. But to soften the blow, he first praised Islam, that Islam is the best religion in the world. But because it's not being practiced on a global scale, so he said the Muslims are the worst people. They deceive people, they cheat people, loot from people, lie. They do not practice Islam. Awaz al-Mufti Mahmud Hassan Sahib rahmatullah used to say, when relating this incident, that I doubt the sincerity and integrity of this George Bernard Shaw. If he was sincere in his opinion about Islam, that Islam is the best religion in the world, he should not allow a few rotten eggs in a basket to deter him from accepting Islam. But nevertheless, this is our position. We cannot produce a proper living model of Islam in a collective form. Our actions are rotten and we expect to see good results. We expect to see Islam flourish, spread throughout the world. That will be very, very difficult. If a person plants wheat, then he can expect to harvest wheat. He plants barley, he will harvest barley. Like a Persian poet says, Gandum as gandum baravid, wa jaw as jaw. When you plant wheat, you can expect to harvest wheat. You cannot plant barley and expect wheat to grow. So similarly, we cannot portray rotten actions and expect Islam to blossom among the non-Muslims. It is not appealing to them. It is not attractive to them. Because we are not practicing Islam ourselves. If you plant flowers, you will grow flowers. Good actions yield good results. If you plant thorns, you're going to grow thorns. Rotten actions yield rotten results. We cannot expect to plant thorns and expect flowers to grow. Like in Farsi it is said, "E khyalast wa muhalast wa junu," that this is merely a figment of our imagination. Something nearly impossible, insanity, to think that we can plant thorns and expect flowers to grow, rotten actions and expect Islam to flourish. Expect people to come to the fold of Islam in droves. That is not possible. We need to learn our lesson of Islam all over again. Like Allama Iqbal rahmatullahi alayh, says in a couplet, ke sabak phir par amanat ka, shujaat ka, adalat ka. Sabak phir par amanat ka, shujaat ka, adalat ka. Liya jayega tujhse kaam dunya ki imamat ka. Let go of your lesson again. Lesson of the Quran, lesson of the Hadith. Learn and implement that honesty, trustworthiness. Learn and implement bravery in your life in the face of adversity. Learn and implement righteousness. Then such work will be taken from you that you will become a role model for the entire world. People will follow you into the fold of Islam. But the important thing, in a collective way, as Muslims, to produce that role model, to show them a living example of the Quran. Aisha Siddiqa radhiyallahu anha said about Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Kana khuluquhu Quran." He was a living embodiment, personification, portrayal of the entire Quran from beginning to end. That is how we ought to also adopt the teachings of Islam into our lives. So the important thing, to nurture our future generation, make fikr on ourselves, make fikr on our children, give them a proper Islamic upbringing, and in this, a mother plays a great role, a pivotal role. Many times fathers throw in the towel, but mothers feel that no matter how far beyond the extreme, my son is gone, I can still bring him back with my du'as. Mother's du'as are readily accepted. He can still become someone. It is because of the fikr and du'a of the mothers generally that people became Imam Bukhari, Imam Ghazali, Shaykh Fariduddin Attar, Rahmatullahi, Bayezid Bastami, Rahmatullahi. This was because of the fikr of their mothers. Take the simple example of Bayezid Bastami Rahmatullahi. Known as Shaykh al-Mashayikh, Sayyid al-Awliya, a great wali of Allah. The four popular silsilas, chains of tasawuf, Chistiyya, Naqshbandiyya, Saharwardiyya, Qadriyya. All these four silsilas, all these four chains of tasawuf go up and they are linked to Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But in that chain, in that link, none of these four silsilas can bypass Shaykh Bayezid Bastami rahmatullahi. In each of these silsilas, he features prominently. There are many other silsilas, roughly about 16. But these four silsilas remain prominent, and they are existing today as well, like in fiqh also. The four mazhabs, Hanafi, Shafi, Hanbali, Maliki, there were many other fiqhi mazhabs, the fiqh of Sufyan al-Thawri rahmatullahi, the fiqh of Dawud Zahiri rahmatullahi, the fiqh of Imam Awza'i rahmatullahi. But these people disappeared into the background, four remain prominent. This happens in many fields. In the political arena, when we have elections, you see all types of parties sprouting up that you never even heard of. You see the gym party, soccer party, kiss party, and what not party. But end of the day, the few parties remain prominent, ANC, DA, whatever the case may be, the others all pale into the shade. So similarly, these four silsilas of tasawuf, prominent, they cannot bypass Shaykh Bayezid Bastami rahmatullahi in building that link till Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Bayezid Bastami rahmatullahi's mother became widowed when Bayezid Bastami rahmatullahi was still an infant, still a toddler. The widowed mother made efforts to bring up her son. She was not a wealthy woman. She used to do odds and ends in the neighborhood, doing domestic chores for people, cleaning up people's homes, washing dishes, cooking for them, earning some money in order to support herself and her little son. As the son grew up, like other children of the neighborhood, he began to play in the streets. The mother became worried that mixing with other children, it is my desire that my son becomes a wali of Allah. It was a desire of his late father as well. But playing with the children of the neighborhood, he could become influenced with other activities, with the wrong way of life. So she became concerned that I need to send my son, even though he is still a child, nabaligh, to some madrasa where there may be a prominent shaykh of tariqat, wali of Allah, that can nurture my son. She made inquiries and people pointed towards a certain masjid in the town, but quite a distance away, where there was a shaykh, shaykh al-tariqat, wali al-kamil of the time, also teaching, running a madrasa, at the same time making tarbiyat, spiritual upbringing of his students. This was the case in those days, that even asatidah, ustads, was sahib and nisbat. Together with being mudarris, they were also murabbi. They used to nurture their students. Darul Ulum Deoband itself, there was a time when every person in the madrasa, from the asatidah to the students, to the ordinary workers, the watchmen, the guards at the gates, all of them sahib in isbat. At tahajjud time, the sound of dhikr used to ring out from the residences of the asatidah, from the boarding of the students, from the hostels of the workers, from the gates where the watchmen used to stand guard, all engaged in tahajjud salah and making dhikr of Allah, all sahib in isbat. So in this way, in the old days, the asatidah, mudarrisin, also used to be sahib in isbat. They were waliya kamil of their own right. So the mother took her little child, Bayezid Bastami, to the masjid where the madrasa was running. From behind the curtain, she spoke to that wali, the shaykh, and made the request that accept my child in your madrasa. Make his tarbiyat also, because it's my desire, to the desire of his late father, that he becomes an alim of repute and he becomes a kamil wali. So even the ustaz was very impressed that very few parents have this type of desire in this day and age. I commend you and I agree, I will accept your son leaving with me. As she parted ways from her son, she remembered to say something to the ustaz. She said to him that, Hazrat, my request to you, that until my son does not become a kamil wali, a complete wali, do not allow him to return home. So the ustaz accepted. She left the child there. But children are also, after all, children. Having grown up with a widowed mother, he began to miss his mother. After 6 or 7 months, he was pining for his mother. He went up to the ustaz and said to the ustaz that I'm missing my mother. Give me permission for just one day. I will go visit my mother and return tomorrow. The ustaz thought to himself that I promised this child's mother that until his tarbiyat is not made entirely, until he does not become a wali kamil, until he does not become an alim also, I will not allow him to go home. But the child began to cry. The child was persistent. So the ustaz thought of a strategy. He thought to himself, let me give him some sabak to memorize today. Sabak of such a huge volume that will be virtually impossible for a little child like that to memorize in one day. So a great amount of sabak. The child was happy when he went in one corner, turned the pages and saw the volume of sabak. He also became a bit despondent. Then how can I memorize this entire sabak, so many pages, in a single day? But eventually he thought to himself That my mother also used to say that Allah can do everything. What is almost impossible, beseech Allah, He will do it for you. And my ustaz also has taught me that Allah is a doer. Allah can do everything. What is virtually almost impossible, Allah will do. So he put down the musalla, little child, made two rakats, made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he sat down to memorize a sabak of many pages. In the evening, he came up to the ustaz and said to him, Hazrat, I have memorized the sabak. The ustaz thought it's a little child, playful. He could not have memorized. But when he read the sabak from beginning to end, not a single mistake. Even the ustaz was left speechless. But he had to keep his part of the bargain. He allowed the child to go home. The child went home, playing cheerfully on the street, running towards his mother's home. He reached the door of his mother's home. The door was locked. From outside, he said, Assalamu alaikum, Ammi. It is I, Bayezid. Open the door for me. No response. A second time he called out. No response. Even though she was hearing him. The third time, when he screamed aloud, then the mother said to him, which Bayezid is this? This cannot be my Bayezid. Because I made a pact with his ustaz that until he does not become a waliya kamil, he must not be sent home. So he cannot be my Bayezid. Go away immediately. She did not even open the door for him. The child was naturally heartbroken, turned away, went back to the madrasa, to his ustaz, to the sheikh. Eyes full of tears. Even the ustaz felt sorry for him, asked him what occurred. He explained the whole incident. The ustaz very affectionately took the child in his lap and with the corner of his turban he wiped the tears of the child. But then he said to the child that, listen, even though your mother did not allow him to the home, did you say or do anything that made your mother displeased with you? He said, no, Hazrat, even though I am heartbroken, my eyes have welled up with tears, but I made no such remark to displease my mother. So the ustaz was happy. That's fine then. And because your mother said that you can only be her Bayezid when you attain that pinnacle of perfection, so now you stay within the madrasa, confines of the four walls. The child also agreed. And thereafter, he spent not 1 year, not 2 years, 16 years in that madrasa, without returning to his mother. When the time came for him, when they had reached that pinnacle, one night, his ustaz, in a dream, he made ziyarat of none other than Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells him that, listen, that student, Bayezid, has now been accorded with the status of extreme superior wilayat. He has become a waliya kamil. Now you may send him to his mother. So in the morning, the ustaz went to the room of this person. Now he was a teenager, grown up. He saw him engage in tahajjud salah. After he completed tahajjud salah, the ustaz went up to him and gave him glad tidings that this is what I saw in my dream, Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, saying that now you have attained that pinnacle. You may return to your mother. The ustaz placed a kiss on his forehead, took off his turban, put it under the head of his student, and sent him to his mother's home. He parted with the ustaz and thanked his ustaz and asked the ustaz to also make dua for him and his mother, because he had heard that after 16 years, now his mother had aged. She was ill also, not knowing how long she will live. He went happily to his mother's home. This time when he came to the door and made Assalamu alaikum, it is Bayezid, A'adkhul, may I come in? This time the mother responded immediately. She rushed to the door. She opened the door and she saw that noor on the face of her son. And she realized that Alhamdulillah, he has now reached the pinnacle. She brought him into the home, gave him some warm milk, cooked his favorite dish, and she thanked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, "Oh Allah, this was my desire, that until I do not see my son become a waliya kamil, do not take me from this world." So Allah ta'ala kept her alive to see the son. So this was the way these people, especially the mothers, used to nurture their children. So we as parents should look at the Islamic upbringing of the children, monitor their movements, ensure that Western culture, foreign culture, do not invade their lives, do not permeate into their lives. Let Islamic culture be prevalent, dominant in their lives. Then inshallah, we will see such role models produced in the world that will become a draw card, magnet for other people coming to the fold of Islam. Many similar incidents. Hazrat Shaykh Fariduddin Attar Rahmatullahi, it is said about him, although some ulama write about some other buzruk, possibly it occurred with two or three buzruks, his mother, in order to teach him that Allah Ta'ala is Raziq, He is a provider, when he was a mere 3-4 year old child, when meal time would approach, she would cook the meal, keep it ready, put it into a cupboard, close the doors, tell the child, put down the musalla. Allah is a provider. Ask Allah Ta'ala for food, He will provide. The child, with his innocent little hands, would make dua. Then the mother would tell the child, go up to the cupboard, open it, he would open it and find the food. Then yes, Allah has provided. In this way, she created that aqidah, belief, that Allah is the sole provider. On one occasion, the mother happened to go into the neighborhood for some work, and the work took longer than she expected. Meal time came. Now she was a distance from the home, she became perturbed, worried. My child, according to procedure, will put down the musalla, ask Allah Ta'ala for provision, for food. Today he will open the cupboard, there will be no food. This will perhaps shake that aqidah of his, that Allah is a provider. But when she got home, she found the child with delicacies in front of him. Food that was out of season. Fruit, delicious fruit. She too was astounded. She asked the boy, she asked the child, where did the food come from? So he replied, "Oh my mother, as you taught me, I put down the musalla, made dua. When I opened the cupboard, I found this food there. Provided by Allah Ta'ala, from the unseen." So that his aqidah could not be shaken. This is how these mothers and parents brought up their children. In this way we can create that collective society that can become a role model for other people to emulate, for people to be drawn towards Islam, unlike our behavior today, we cause people to drift away from Islam instead of attracting them towards Islam. So it is important that we adopt the ideals of Islam, fundamentals of Islam, in every department, as I mentioned, as far as our tenets of faith are concerned, as far as our ibadat is concerned, as far as our social activities, we will become true. I mean, with regard to next month's majlis, we will not have the majlis like last year too. We had to leave it out. Our madrasa will be closing towards the end of November, beginning of December. So I also will be out probably on some safar. I will not be available. So others also will be on holiday. And then January also, beginning, we're supposed to have the next majlis. There too some brothers suggested that hardly any people will be back. So inshallah our next majlis, we'll have to skip the next 2 months. This is Rabiul Awwal. So no majlis in Rabiul Akhir and in Jumad al-Ula. The next one in Jumad al-Ukhra. About more or less, I think, the 1st of February will be the first week of the Islamic calendar of Jumad al-Ukhra. So that is inshallah our next majlis. SMSs will be sent out. So about the 1st of February, Allah Ta'ala keep us healthy and well inshallah to see that day, to be in the majlis. Allah give us a tawfiq of correcting our Islamic behavior, our Islamic a'mal, our activities, our akhlaq. Allah Ta'ala make it possible for us to make fikr for our own Islam and the Islam of our children, Islam of our families. Allah Ta'ala make us among those fortunate people that inshallah will become draw cards and magnets for other people entering the fold of Islam, inshallah. وَمَا عَلَيْنَا إِلَّا الْمَلَاغُ وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانُ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ. In the morning, as usual, inshallah, after Fajr, a short tafsir. Those who are sleeping over there, after we can have breakfast before they depart. Our morning dhikr, inshallah, half an hour before the adhan. Adhan is still at 4:30, I think. So at 4 a.m., inshallah, our dhikr majlis.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. سلام على عباد الذين اصطفى. سلام على المرسلين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وأنزل المقعد المقرب عندك. اللهم رب هذه الدعوة القائمة والصلاة النافعة صل على سيدنا محمد وارض عني رضا لا تسأل بعد وأبدا. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد عبدك ورسولك وصل على المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وارحم سيدنا محمد وعلى سيدنا محمد كما صليت وباركت ورحمت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على آل سيدنا إبراهيم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على آل سيدنا إبراهيم إن في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وأزواجه وذريته كما صليت على آل سيدنا إبراهيم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وأزواجه وذريته كما باركت على آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى أزواجه وذريته كما صليت على آل سيدنا إبراهيم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى أزواجه وذريته كما باركت على آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد النبي وأزواجه أمهات المؤمنين وذريته وأهل بيته كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على سيدنا إبراهيم وترحم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما ترحمت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم ترحم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما ترحمت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم تحنن على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما تحننت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم سلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما سلمت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وارحم سيدنا محمد وعلى سيدنا محمد كما صليت وباركت وترحمت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم إن في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد عبدك ورسولك كما صليت على آل سيدنا إبراهيم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على آل سيدنا إبراهيم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم وبارك على سيدنا محمد النبي الأمي كما باركت على سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد عبدك ورسولك النبي الأمي وعلى آل سيدنا محمد. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد صلاة تكون لك رضا وله جزاء ولحقه أداء وأعطي الوسيلة والفضيلة والمقام المحمود الذي وعدته وزه عنا ما هو أهله وزي أفضل ما جازيت نبينا من قومه ورسولا عن أمته وصلي على جميع إخواني من النبيين والصالحين يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم صلي على سيدنا محمد أمي وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم وبارك على سيدنا محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما بارك على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صلي على سيدنا محمد وعلى أهل بيته كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل علينا معهم. اللهم بارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل بيته كما بارك على سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك علينا معهم. صلوات الله وصلوات المؤمنين على سيدنا محمد النبي الأمي. اللهم اجعل صلواتك ورحمتك وبركاتك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما جعلت على آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. وصلى الله على النبي الأمي. التحيات لله والصلوات الطيبات. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. التحيات الطيبات الصلوات لله. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. التحيات الطيبات الصلوات لله. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. التحيات المباركات الصلوات الطيبات لله. سلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. سلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. بسم الله وبالله تحيات الله وصلوات الطيبات. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أسأل الله الجنة وأعوذ بالله من النار. نسأل الله الجنة ونعوذ بالله من النار. التحيات لله الزاكيات لله الطيبات الصلوات لله. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. بسم الله وبالله خير الأسماء. التحيات الطيبات الصلوات لله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أرسله بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا وأن الساعة آتية لا ريب فيها. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. اللهم اغفر لي واهدني. اللهم اغفر لنا واهدنا. التحيات الطيبات والصلوات الملك لله. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله تحيات الله صلوات الله زاكيات لله. السلام على النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. شهدت أن لا إله إلا الله، شهدت أن محمد رسول الله. التحيات الطيبات الصلوات زاكيات لله، أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأن محمد عبده ورسوله. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. التحيات الطيبات الصلوات زاكيات لله، أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمد عبد الله ورسوله. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. التحيات الصلوات لله، السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. التحيات الصلوات الطيبات، السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمد عبده ورسوله. التحيات المباركة الصلوات الطيبات لله، السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمد رسول الله. بسم الله والسلام على رسول الله.
الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. ربنا علمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. اللهم حبب إلينا الإيمان وزينه في قلوبنا، وكره إلينا الكفر والفسوق والعصيان، واجعلنا من الراشدين، واجعلنا من عبادك الصالحين، واجعلنا من المتطهرين، واجعلنا من الداعين، واجعلنا من الذين يأمرون بالمعروف وينهون عن المنكر، واجعلنا من الذين لا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون. اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا ورزقا حلالا طيبا وعملا متقبلا وشفاء من كل داء. اللهم حاسبنا حسابا يسيرا، اللهم أجرنا من النار. اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما أسألك من نبيك وعبدك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، ونعوذ بك من كل شر ما استعاذك من نبيك وعبدك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. وأنت المستعان ولك الملاك، ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم، وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. صلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. بفضل سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، وسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله.